Healthcare Consumerism Radio is on the air. Brought to you by the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism. Get ready to learn, connect, and share with the nation's top thought leaders of innovative health and benefit management. And now your hosts for the show, Doug Field and Ron Bachman.
Good morning. This is Doug Field, the CEO of the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism, and we're glad to be with you this Friday morning. I have joining me on the program this morning my editorial director, Todd Callahan. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Doug. Good to be here.
Yeah, good to have you with us, too, on a rainy day here in Atlanta. Ron took a hiatus. He's in Arizona playing in the desert.
A little less rainy, a little bit warmer. Yeah. And hopefully he's hitting them straight out there.
Well, we got an exciting program today. And on our first segment, we're excited to have a current partner with us on a single-day event that we're putting on prior to IHC Forum. Joining with us today is Mark McCoy, who is the president of Web Atlanta. And his full-time job is he runs a retirement advisory firm. Mark, good morning to you. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Doug.
Hey, we're excited to have you not only on here this morning, but excited to be partnering with you. If you would, tell our audience a little bit about Web Atlanta.
Web Atlanta is an organization of benefit professionals. We actually are part of a larger organization called Web. And it's basically the Worldwide Employee Benefit Network. And we have programs typically on a monthly basis for employee benefit professionals, both from employers to providers, and have a multitude of different topics. And we have one of the largest chapters in the nation, I think about 180 members, and we typically have about 80 people attend our monthly programs for just education. So it's about education of our peers in the industry and kind of giving back.
Yeah, I know you do a really good job with the breakfast and lunch and sessions. Tell our audience how they would find out about attending or even joining Web Atlanta.
Web Atlanta, we have, again, I said we were part of a national group. It's the website is webnetwork.org, and that's where you can register for a particular chapter's meetings. We have 14 chapters throughout the country, but the way you reach Atlanta is you go to the Web Network website and click on Atlanta, and it goes through all the different programs we have on a monthly basis, and you can register right there.
Thank you, Mark. You know, we were excited. I had attended several of Mark's luncheon sessions and really respected a yearly boot camp that they held every spring at the Cobb Galleria, which was really close to our the Institute's Forum East, which will be held this year, May 9th and 10th. So, you know, I reached out to Mark and talked to his group about their interest in partnering with us on a single day complete benefit program, not just talking healthcare, but talking non-healthcare and healthcare. And we're really excited that we've launched in the marketplace Employee Benefit Forum, which will be held all day on May 8th, the day prior. And Mark, would you mind talking to us a little bit about the non-healthcare side of the program? And, you know, I'll talk about the healthcare side of the program.
Well, it actually, and we are also very excited to partner with your group. We've had our event previously, which was designed as also an educational tool both on really all employee benefit issues. And we've done that for 10 years, but we're very excited about partnering with your group and the things that that's going to bring. But the morning session is going to be focused more about retirement plans, with the afternoon, as you know, primarily focused on health care. Some of the topics that we've picked for the morning session, 401k plans and administrative practices, fiduciary duties and the new fee disclosure requirements, and then how to handle an IRS or DOL audit. We've done a number of surveys with our membership, and those are three topics that consistently get raised as interest to our employers. And this event is exclusively for employers. And we have found that, at least in our surveys and our members, they enjoy networking with other peers throughout the East Coast or nationally. And that's why we're excited about this new event, where they're going to, rather than just being an Atlanta event, we're hopefully going to be able to draw people from the East Coast. So
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, too, is that this isn't just limited to Atlanta web members. It's open to any benefit director across the country to come in and attend in conjunction with our IHC Forum on Thursday and Friday. In fact, we really are packaging, price-wise, two events for the price of one for benefit managers. And the afternoon session is going to be led by Ron Bachman, and it's going to be focused exclusively on healthcare. And, you know, Ron, as the chairman of my advisory board, is also a past principal with PricewaterhouseCoopers, and he is doing a hands-on interactive workshop, which really will lay down all the mechanics of effectively not only implementing a healthcare consumerism initiative, but really taking you through all phases of healthcare consumerism. So whether you are in the first phases of implementation or you're 3 to 4 years into your plan and you're looking at how to improve engagement, how to improve personal decision-making, you'll find Ron's session very informative, and you'll also get a 150-page workbook to take home into your organization. So a really clear takeaway for benefit directors, whether you're a senior benefit director or you're just entering the workforce as a benefit director. I think you'll find this single day of real value for you.
This is the Employee Benefit Forum 2013. It's going to be held at the Cobb Galleria Center, which is in North Atlanta, adjacent to all the interstates. So if you're driving in anywhere from the southeast, or if you're flying in, it's very convenient to the airport. And this is going to be from 7:30 a.m. to 5:15. And, Mark, I was just wanting to you're an expert in retirement. And with web, have you noticed a lot more focus on the healthcare aspect as opposed to more of the retirement and the other benefits that web is discussing?
No question about it, Ty. We as I said, we survey our membership all the time and look to them to what kind of topics do you want to cover and what kind of information are you looking for? And obviously, as you know, healthcare is on everybody's front burner right now, and although there are a few issues that are important on retirement plans, they probably pale in comparison to the healthcare issues that employers are facing today. So, yeah, we are devoting probably 90% of our programs now to healthcare, at least over the next couple of years, just to address the needs of our employers and the issues.
Yeah, in fact, you've got a very interesting breakfast coming up in the month of February, where you not only will be talking a little bit more about Forum and what people can do to attend Employee Benefit Forum, but you've got a show completely focused on healthcare consumerism. Is that correct?
That is right. That is right. So we do try to remain flexible with our topics and speakers. And, yes, we do have a breakfast meeting this time. We usually do lunch programs. And I think we typically have, like I said, about 80 people attend, and again, it's from employers to vendors, but we try to remain responsive. But again, I certainly have learned one thing as the president of Web Atlanta, that healthcare is on the front burner for everybody, and so they've got to deal with it, and we're trying to help.
And not only is Web Atlanta, I mean, taking a mantra from the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism, learning, connecting, and sharing at your meetings, you got some tremendous food there. So you get to feed your brain with knowledge and get to feed your belly, which I've personally kind of always enjoyed myself.
We do enjoy it. We actually have the meeting starts, we kind of have a networking session in an effort, again, to part of it is to meet other people, and so for about 15-20 minutes we have hors d'oeuvres, and I think people enjoy that, just kind of getting a chance to meet new people in the industry, and we get a lot of new guests attending, and so it's a vibrant group, I would say.
Right, and also it seems, talking about the healthcare and paying for healthcare, it's almost, we're at a point now where it was similar to the creation of the 401k, where people are starting to take more control of their pension plans when they were with their 401k investing and using advisors to help them invest. Now with HSAs, it seems like people are having to take more control of their health care and their health care spend.
No, I think that's a great analogy. It's, it's kind of almost the melding of each, the best practices in each discipline. But as we kind of downstream things to participants and employees, you give them more choice. And there's a lot of responsibility in that, not only in the retirement plan or 401k areas, but healthcare. And that is absolutely a trend.
Exactly. And when you're giving them more choices, you definitely have to provide them the education tools, because if they go in blind, then it's just going to be a mess for the employer, for the employee as well.
No, no question about it. No question about it. And we like your event. We've attended your East Coast Forum a number of times, some of our board members. And, you know, that was one of the reasons we were so proud to partner with you, because you ran a first-class event. And we were excited to partner with you, and the educational opportunities in that two-day program was excellent. And that just dovetailed nice with the new Employee Benefit Forum, just kind of an all-day primer or advanced course in all of benefits.
And I think something that Mark alluded to earlier for our audience is that, you know, we've decided the single-day event is going to be exclusively for employers, giving small, medium, and large employers the opportunity in that single-day event to have a very sharing, open dialogue with their peers. You know, it is fine to interact with brokers, advisors, consultants, and other stakeholders who are very important in this equation, but we think it's very unique to offer a forum where they know they will only be amongst their peers and be able to have an open dialogue with each other. And then the next 2 days, attending IHC Forum, they'll be able to mingle with brokers, advisors, solution providers, and other peers that will be flying in from around the country as well. So you can find out about Employee Benefit Management Forum and IHC Forum on Mark's website. They alluded to it earlier. Also on our forum website, theihccforum.com.
Mark, as we wrap up this segment, please let our audience know a little bit more if they want to get in touch with you or learn more about Web Atlanta. What should they do?
Yeah, again, the best place is our national website, which is webnetwork.org. And that's the best place. And of course, you can reach me if you, as president, if you have any questions. My email is mark.mccoy@rfm401k.com, and be glad to explain some of the other aspects of Web. I also serve on the national board. We have 14 different chapters throughout the country, and they're all very successful in their own right. But again, it's all about giving back to the employee benefit professionals, and particularly our employers. They've got a lot on their plate, and we all are passionate about the industry, and we want to give them the tools to be successful.
Well, Mark, listen, I really appreciate you having on. You join us this morning. We're excited about this program coming up. So you have a great day and a great weekend. And to our audience, stay tuned with us, and when we come back, we're going to showcase a new member resource partner.
This is Ron Bachman, Chairman of the Editorial Advisory Board for the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism. The IHC is a collaborative community for innovative health and benefit management solutions. If you're a stakeholder involved in any part of the healthcare system, you'll find the Institute the voice for healthcare consumerism. We invite you to see more about the organization at www.theihcc.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
My name is Todd Callahan, the editorial director for the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism. Thank you for listening to Healthcare Consumerism Radio. Do you have a compelling story to share in regard to innovative health and benefit management? Or have an idea about an upcoming show? Please feel free to reach out to us at theihcc@americaswebradio.com. That way we continue to learn, connect, and share. And again, thanks for listening to Healthcare Consumerism Radio.
You're listening to americaswebradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Good to have
have you. Good to have our audience back. This is Doug Field, CEO of the Institute, and we're excited about this next segment. Once a week, we're our goal is to really showcase a member resource partner, and those are service providers that we have partnered with to provide unique benefits to the IHC membership. And joining with us this morning is Diana Keough, CEO and founder of Sharewick Media. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning, Doug. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you here. You know, I love having Diana on this program and to talk with her, period, because she's a fellow journalist, except she stuck with journalism. I went to the dark hold of the business side of media.
That we call the dark side. Yes.
We don't hold that against you, Doug.
You know, Diana, we're excited about our partnership and what you're doing around health and wellness education and with your personal storytelling platform. Talk to our audience a little bit more about what inspired you, first of all, to create this, and more about what it is, please.
Well, I've been a healthcare journalist for almost 20 years now, and in my experience and in my work as a journalist, a lot of what I was doing was spending time with people that were in healthcare crises. And what I noticed in doing so is that very often I was the only one that was listening from start to finish in a very linear fashion. And it almost became, you know, if you think about when you go on vacation, you have this amazing experience in Italy, or even if you go to the Grand Canyon, it changes you. The light is different. The food is different. Right. The experience changes you. And you really have a lot to share about it. But when you come back to work and everybody says, how was your vacation? And you say, great. The next thing that happens is nothing. They don't ask us another single question. More so, that exact same thing happens when you're going through a healthcare crisis, when you're a divorce, a death of a child, a breast cancer, a melanoma scare. Nobody asks you many questions. But what happens is that in my experience in telling the stories is I would listen, and I became part of the healing process with the people that I was writing stories about. And their only motivation was to help one person. And so in kind of thinking about what I wanted to do with the when I moved here to Atlanta from the Cleveland area, I wanted to still be able to tell people's stories. And I call myself an accidental CEO because really all I wanted to do was tell people's stories. And what I didn't realize is in doing so and starting with the personal story and then having experts kind of speak to that personal story is that it resonated very deeply on many levels, not only in a personal way, but also in the fact that all these studies are now coming out that show that the fact if you want to engage, educate, and inspire your employees, you need to let them relate and actually hear personal stories. And to be able to see if this person can make it through it, I can make it through it, and to change behavior and actually get people motivated to lose the weight, to stop the smoking, they need to be able to hear a story just like their story to say this is where they were and this is where they are now. And so that was basically the whole evolution of what we're doing now. That's where it came from.
So it's one thing for experts to tell you what you should be doing or what the experience should be. It's another to hear it from someone else's experience, correct?
Well, and everybody listening here knows that that experience that the doctor tells you you're going to experience is more often than not completely different than what happens.
Yeah.
They can tell you what they're going to do, but you know, if they say it's going to take 2 weeks to recover and it takes 4 weeks, you think that you're a little bit unusual. And so, you know, in this room is mostly men, but women, when they get together, what we do is we talk about these things, and women are usually the gatekeepers of most of the medical decisions. Not so much as much anymore, but usually they make most of the decisions of the family. The way women talk about it is the fact is we will get the diagnosis, we will have something happen to our children, a teacher will tell us something about our child being ADHD, and the next thing we do is we pick up the phone and we actually are looking for people that have been through it so we can actually learn from the experience of others. So, again, the genesis of this entire media company that I founded now, Sharewick Media, is all about that personal storytelling so you can learn and you can relate and you can actually change your behavior and be inspired by it.
What's the depth of the content, Diana? How health and wellness is very broad.
It's very broad. And what's interesting, Doug, is, it's a very good question because, we could spend a lot of time just on the basics, which we do, the diabetes and, the top eight disease states. We do, and it's deep with the breast cancer and diabetes and smoking cessation. But what we've also done, and something that I've always done in my career, is we cover health and wellness, covering all the, I call it the ologies, the sociology, the psychology, all the mental health things. And we like to say that we are basically covering health in a way of that this is what people are spending most of their brain and their thought life at work are on the areas that we're covering a lot, such as depression, such as caring for elderly parents, such as an eating disorder. All those things that really take a lot of time away from work and productivity, grief, divorce, we have a really depth and deep coverage of those topics as well. Because those type of things don't show up in claims. And so your employee base, you're never going to know really what's going on and what they really need help on. Yes, they all need to lose weight, and yes, and that's an important thing. We cover a lot of that. And yes, they need to get their diabetes under control, and yes, we cover that. But there's also grief that will basically change someone's life that we actually offer instruction to. So because this doesn't show up in claims and because of the way that we have really structured the platform, it allows you to actually then be almost a helpmate and a walk alongside with your employee to give them the tools to actually go through a lot of these things that are taking so much time away from work. Otherwise, you would have no way of knowing what's going on really in your employee base.
But you can also, I think it should be noted that if an employer or a population health management company was to seek you out as part of, the Institute services, you can create content for them if
Absolutely.
They have a specific need.
Absolutely. And we do so.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of times, again, the CEO, a lot of the wellness programs get started in a corporation because the CEO happened to actually then change their life through wellness, lose weight or smoking. And again, we give them a platform within the management team to be able to share that story to motivate their parents or their employees. And so, that is another service that we provide as well.
And you're very committed. And since you have the unique personal storytelling platform, you can uniquely fit with existing content that organizations may have, correct?
Absolutely. And we can integrate them into the course because what we do is usually one course, the platform that we have built is a series of courses. And I want to say it's over 100, 120, and I don't have that number right off the top of my head, courses that start out with that personal story, and then we have the experts speak to that. And so it's usually between 3 to 5 videos with articles, and we have 15 to 18 people that write for us that are all specialists in their niche. So a eating disorder specialist, a grief specialist, a bereavement counselor, a sex therapist, a woman who specializes in ADHD. And so we will take a topic, like we just published stroke, for example. So we start out with Bill Allen, who is sharing a story about recovering from stroke, the symptoms that he had, the fact that he could have prevented it, and then we have the experts talk about the latest treatments of stroke, those things to look for as far as the FAST, which is, facial recognition, all those symptoms to look for, and then treatments of what happens to treat people that after that the golden hour is over. Because a lot of times if you don't know that you've had a stroke or experience it or wake up with one that has happened overnight, most of those things they do immediately in the hospital aren't going to help you. So here is, instruction on what to do if that's the case.
All right. Diana, you participated in our forums. What were the most questions that employers and solution providers came up to you, and what were they asking about you and your organization?
They asked if we can actually create original content. Mm-hmm. That was a big question.
Right.
They also asked how it worked. I was surprised to hear that they had never seen anything like it out there before. Mm-hmm. And I was also surprised to hear how much they have tried that has not worked. And they really, I was really struck with how much they care about their employees and how much they're looking. Yes, the motivation is to bring the cost of healthcare down, but really to actually be a caretaker, to actually make their lives better. And I was actually surprised by that. So a lot of it was what they were asking is could we integrate their content? Mm-hmm. Could we create original content? And how fast can we get it started?
Right. And we're talking about the video aspect and video component of it. We're not talking about somebody running around with a cell phone. I mean, a cell phone camera. This is like high-grade quality HD type filming, correct?
Exactly. And they're engaging. So it's stories that you are sucked into from start to finish. And I have on my staff a team of healthcare journalists that have spent their careers making very complicated things simple. And so we get it down to those things that if you have a stroke, here's a story that's going to suck you in. And especially most of the content on the web out there is mostly talking heads. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there's a lot of information out there. So here, because most of us have spent so much time in the healthcare field, we have an institutional memory of what else is out there. So we can boil it down to those things that people need to know on, yes, a need-to-know basis, but also on here's an expansion of more that you need to know that's new, that's relevant, that's interesting. And that's the thing. So much of what's out there is so poorly produced and not very interesting. And so even, it's kind of like taking the medicine. We're kind of the spoonful of sugar that helps that go down because they don't even know what they don't know what they don't know, but they're actually watching it.
Diane, I think it's also important for our audience to know that there's nothing wrong with sponsored content. There's a lot of sponsored content out there. But talk a little bit about the objective nature of your content.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that, too, because it's really important. One of the things that I did not realize when I was doing the research to start this business is that most of the information out there on the Internet, healthcare information, is all sponsored by pharmaceuticals, that are Johnson & Johnson. WebMD is 99.9% sponsored content. And I didn't know that as a consumer, and most people don't. And I certainly was bothered by it as a journalist. And so I wanted to create a information and a portal that actually had no one was telling me what to do. No one was telling me it had to go, include these types of medications, classifications. If it's not relevant, it's not in there. So it's an important aspect of what we do is that the fact that we're not sponsored. It's not pay to play on our site.
Well, Diana, time flies when we're having fun. We got about 45 seconds to get here. Give us some final takeaways for our audience.
There's a lot of information, and as I was saying earlier, is employers really, they care about what's going on in the lives of their employers. One of the healthcare or human resources advisory board members was saying that a lot of her time was spent with people coming into her office and telling them of what was really going on in their life. What we're doing together with the ShareWork Media and the content that we're producing, Doug, is we're actually having those conversations on the web that these people don't necessarily, those that aren't having the conversations with their HR managers, can actually spend the time watching these videos and actually get better and engage and be inspired by it to change.
Excellent. Well, it's great to have you here. And you can find out about ShareWork Media and its services on the IHCC website in our member resource area. Again, Diana, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, this is Brent Macy, Managing Director for the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism. If you're a solution provider in this marketplace, I'd like to talk to you more about our corporate membership program that will allow you to showcase your solutions in front of our audience who will be making decisions on what they're going to be putting in place surrounding their healthcare benefit packages in 2013 and beyond. Contact me at 770-296-7276 to learn more.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that nasal stuffiness can cause snoring and decrease the amount of oxygen that your body receives? A decrease in oxygen to the brain can cause problems with memory and concentration, and in severe cases, it can cause stroke. A decrease in oxygen to the heart can lead to high blood pressure, and in severe cases, a heart attack. Nasal stuffiness can be caused by exposure to irritants such as dust, mold, pollution, and chemicals. It can also be caused by exposure to trees, grass, and certain foods such as corn, wheat, eggs, soy, milk, and various meats. Medical treatment with nasal sprays and or antihistamines that don't cause drowsiness can alleviate the congestion. It is important not to use over-the-counter spray decongestants since they can be addictive and actually make breathing more difficult. See your doctor for a complete evaluation of your nose. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Hi, this is Brent Macy, Managing Director for the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism. If you're a solution provider in this marketplace, I'd like to talk to you more about our corporate membership program that will allow you to showcase your solutions in front of our audience who will be making decisions on what they're going to be putting in place surrounding their healthcare benefit packages in 2013 and beyond. Contact me at 770-296-7276 to learn more.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Hey, welcome back. This is Doug Field, CEO of Institute for Healthcare Consumerism. Welcome back to Healthcare Consumerism Radio. We're going to open up this segment with a member spotlight. Once a week, we're going to showcase one or two of our corporate members and their company, their solutions, and the key executives behind the company. And we're happy to have today one of our corporate members, Jeremy Miller, the CEO and founder of FSA Store. Good morning, Jeremy.
Morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you doing up there?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Are you going to duck out of the storm heading up your way? Is it going to go north of you?
Yeah, we had a little in the morning, and everyone's leaving here by 4 so they can get home before all the trains shut down.
Yeah, it looks like
coming at 5 p.m., so
yeah, it looks like a pretty serious
bracing ourselves.
Well, Jeremy, we're glad you could join with us today. And Jeremy, as I said before, Jeremy is CEO and founder of FSA Store. They're the one-stop shop for FSA spending and managing your FSA account. And Jeremy, if you would, give me your version of your inspiration for starting this business, where it is today and where you see it going with all the changing regs around FSAs and other healthcare initiatives.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I founded the company 3 years ago. My prior experience was with developing companies, small businesses that were turning into larger businesses, and part of my duties were in the HR departments to set up healthcare plans, set up FSAs. And so I got to learn a lot about how FSAs worked and what was behind them. And a lot of people that were working for us would come to me asking me questions about, what's covered under my flexible spending account, how much money can I put in? A lot of questions that I received. And so that's where the idea kind of stemmed from, seeing this problem where people really didn't fully understand how to use their FSA, really what how to maximize the tax savings. And so I took that idea and founded the business, FSAstore.com. We've been in business for over 3 years. We basically are a one-stop destination for people with flexible spending accounts that you can easily use and manage your funds. So we sell about 4,000 to 6,000 FSA-eligible products. We have a services database that goes and tells you about FSA-eligible specialties such as acupuncture or optometry, and then we also have a learning center, which is just a lot of questions to help people educate themselves on how FSAs work.
And Jeremy, this is Todd Callahan, the editorial director for the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism, and the key word is consumerism. You've taken that to a whole level. You're actually hand-in-hand with the consumer, offer them products, and educating them on being better consumers, correct?
Exactly. Yeah, our site is really an educational tool as much as it is an e-commerce site. Mm-hmm. So, not only do we sell products, and that's our revenue model, but really we aim to educate the consumer on exactly what they can buy. So we only sell products that you can buy with an FSA account. So that includes the FSA-eligible products as well as FSA-eligible with prescription products. We have a lot of different categories. So it's really an educational tool. People sometimes print out our eligibility list that we offer, which basically lets people know what categories of products are eligible. And they'll print it out and use it if they want to in the store. So it is an educational tool as much as it is a e-commerce site for people to spend their funds.
And Jeremy, it's probably more important than ever for employers and even their administrators, which I want you to talk a little bit about, to offer this site to the employees and plan participants, because of there's just been a tremendous change and state of confusion in what's eligible and not eligible, correct?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, we've done a lot of changes on our site since 2011 when the eligibility product changes took place, which basically separated products that contained a medicine or drug from products that didn't. So originally there was a list of about 50 products that people could buy with their FSA. That product list has now dropped to about 24,000 products. All the rest of those products are FSA eligible with script products or prescription products. And those are the Tylenols, Advils, anything that contains a drug or medicine. So what we've done on our site is not only color coordinated which products are FSA eligible or with which products are FSA eligible with prescription, but we also have a process on our site where if you wanted to get a script for, say, Tylenol and use your FSA, we have a pharmacy partner based out of Oregon that will basically accept your script or obtain a script for you from the doctor. So if you, say, used Claritin every day for a year and you wanted to get a script for Claritin, you can put your doctor's information on our site. We automatically contact the doctor and let them know how if they can approve the RX purchase. So that's just one of the changes that we've done on our site to make it easier for people to understand those eligibility changes that happened in 2011. So we've done a lot and really equipped ourselves to still be the easiest solution for FSA spending out there.
Hey, Jeremy, any plans in the near term to do a version for the health savings account market or cardholders?
Yeah, we're looking at that market. We hear it's growing, so we're definitely looking into HSAs. We do accept HSAs on our site currently, so we do have customers that use their HSA card on our site. Mm-hmm. The product eligibility is the same. The learning center is different, but the products are the same, and the RX requirement is still the same. So, mm-hmm. So it's definitely a useful tool right now. And then if you went to HSAstore.com, you'd be able to link to our site, which is basically we accept those cards as well.
Excellent.
And also, in terms of plans that we have for the future, we just actually rolled out a full site redesign. So we spent a lot of time looking at how customers interact with our site, and we've completely overhauled the site to make it even easier. We have a couple new tools, one new video that really highlights how the site works, as well as we have a calculator for people to estimate how much FSA money to put in their accounts, and enhanced learning center. So we've done a lot in the last year to really enhance the site and really educate people, especially about the changes, because there is a lot of, like you said, there is a lot of confusion surrounding those changes. Some people think every product became ineligible, which is really not the case. We sell 4,000 to 6,000 products.
Yeah.
That you require, that you can buy with your FSA right now.
Yeah. Jeremy, how concerned were you, I know, with the Health and Human Services, with all the changes coming down with PPACA or the ACA, whatever you'd like to choose, the whole concept of $2,500 limit on how much people can save in their FSA, was that a real concern to you when you first heard the news of that?
It's funny because when we first heard the news of that, which came at the same point as the eligibility changes,
right?
We really thought that was going to hurt, affect our site pretty poorly, especially when the OTC regs came out.
Right, exactly.
Which split out the products.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's actually done is it's brought more people to our site, because it just becomes more useful to understand which product I can buy with my FSA card, my FSA account, versus which product I need a script for. And so what we actually saw is really just, our sales have increased really strong since we started. We've had a pretty strong growth rate, and the product mix has just shifted. So people aren't buying as much Tylenol on our site as they are buying first aid kits or, eyeglass preparations or, different types of Band-Aids, sun care, feminine care, baby care items. So the product mix has changed. So at first we were worried about the change, and then we saw that people are still using that FSA money on those products that they need, just, you know, using them on different kind of source of products. Mm-hmm. $2,500 cap definitely hurts the people that use FSAs the most, mm-hmm. so we're unhappy about that. We did see that it only affects about 20% of the people last time we checked, because the cap is above what the average person puts in, about $1,500.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we'll see how that turns out, but we definitely like all those changed.
Yeah.
I'd like to see.
Jeremy, what's the price to an employer? If an employer wanted to offer your site to their employees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we partner with both employers and FSA administrators. FSA administrators are our main source of contact, so we partner with mm-hmm. with them to actually roll out FSA Store to their participants. Mm-hmm. So right now we have about 100 FSA partners, and we work with them on a day-to-day basis to help their participants really understand how FSA Store is and FSA products works. So we do that by giving them either coupons or flyers or banners or anything that the TPA, the FSA administrator, needs to be able to, you know, accurately talk about FSA Store mm-hmm. and how it works. For employers, you know, me being on the employer side, HR representatives really, really love what we offer, because it takes that burden off of them
right.
to have to explain how FSAs work. You know, people coming to them directly to talk about their account, they can just refer them to, you know, our partner store, FSA Store. So we do get a lot of employers that contact us that want to actively promote the site.
What's the, aside from the education benefit as a service that FSA administrators can offer to their employer clients, is there any other business benefits that you provide them?
In terms of benefits that they can
use? To the FSA administrators, is there what's the value proposition of you to them?
Yeah, we offer them a revenue share component
okay.
if they choose to elect that. We also have seen that there's a lot of customers that are much happier using just more satisfaction from being able to understand their FSA account. So the last survey we did, we found about 79% of people preferred FSAstore.com as a source for eligibility information from our customer base. So we see a lot of statistics that are just showing that people that use our site and come to our site are actually, you know, planning on spending their last dollar at the site, which is good, but also getting both information and product purchases from the site. So just increasing participation. And the goal is really to not only increase participation, but for the administrators that we work with, increase allocations from year to year now that it's become clearer. So maybe see a lift in the amount of money that people put in. I think that's important. Maybe seeing increased participation from other people talking about FSAs and FSA Store. So hopefully, in that next year in that employer group, you'll be having more participants that are taking advantage of FSAs, since right now only about 1 in 5 people do. So those are some of the kind of side effects of having a one-stop destination as we do.
Jeremy, we have about 30 seconds for
sure.
this segment. Just to help wrap up, let our audience know if they want to learn more about the FSA Store or want to order. Tell them how to get in touch with you or to learn more about the FSA Store.
Sure, yeah. You can come to our site, FSAstore.com, and you can just – there's a contact us page. We have 24/7 customer service. We have 24/7 live chat service, so you can chat with us right on the lower right-hand corner of your computer at any time on the site, which a lot of people utilize. And you can get in touch with me or any of our employees on the FSA administrator side. We have a manager of business development that's happy to talk to people. On the consumer side, we regularly do promotions. If you want to enter 5 friend at checkout, you can get $5 off your order of 50 or more, so you can start testing out the site and using it. So for both consumers and FSA administrators, it's very easy and simple to get in touch with us.
All right, Jeremy, hey, appreciate your time, and we'll be
back
right after this.
This is Doug Field, CEO of the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism, and I'd like to personally invite you to join us at our IHC Forum East Conference May 9th and 10th at the Cobb Gallery in Atlanta, Georgia. That is where you'll learn how to get your employees to become better healthcare consumers and lower your healthcare costs. Again, join us May 9th and 10th at the Cobb Galleria in Atlanta, Georgia, and I look forward to seeing you there. You can find our information at theihccforum.com.
Moms, dads, listen to my radio program, Homeschooling for Today, on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you'll learn all about how to homeschool on America's Web Radio.
Hello, I'm Ray Bowman, and I'm really looking forward to our new show, Food and Farm, brought to you every Friday at noon on America's Web Radio by FeedsubsFoodLink.com.
This is Ron Bachman, Chairman of the Editorial Advisory Board for the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism. The IHC is a collaborative community for innovative health and benefit management solutions. If you're a stakeholder involved in any part of the healthcare system, you'll find the Institute the voice for healthcare consumerism. We invite you to see more about the organization at www.theihcc.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Hey, welcome back to Healthcare Consumerism Radio. This is Doug Field, CEO of the Institute of Healthcare Consumerism, and we're going to continue with our member spotlights. And today, we're happy to have Dr. Steve Helshin, founder of Level One Diagnostics. Dr. Helshin, good to have you on the program. Good morning.
Good morning, Todd and Doug. How are you both?
We're fantastic. Good to talk to you. It's been a while since we saw each other at our last event.
And it's been a lifelong change during that time, too. That event was very powerful, and I'm really glad I had the opportunity to go to it.
Steve, you're operating in a very important piece of this space because you're all about early detection of heart disease. And we look at all the stats. Heart disease is the number one killer in the United States. I mean, we talk a lot about cancer. We talk a lot about, other forms of disease, but maybe not enough about early detection of heart disease. And talk to us this morning about what Level One Diagnostics is doing and what was really your inspiration for moving into this area.
Thank you. I'd love to tell the story because it's an interesting story. What happened was my mom, may she rest in peace, got congestive heart failure. And over a three-year period, I had the opportunity of taking care of her. And she passed away. I looked back and I said, what could I have done differently? And I realized, unfortunately, the answer was everything. The problem with cardiovascular disease is the way that it's treated is reactive rather than proactive. So there would be a time where she'd swell up, and then they'd give her Lasix. There would be a time that she had trouble breathing, and then they gave her either an inhaler or Lasix. It was very reactive medicine. The medicine was such that the cardiologist really played a lifeguard, sitting in the chair waiting for his patients to drown and then jumping in to save them. And I realized that if you divide the way we do cardiology, there are four levels of diagnosis and four levels of treatment. And I defined each of them. And to keep it brief, a level three is done by a very highly skilled person. It's invasive and leads to drugs and surgery. So like an angiogram, catheterization, thallium stress test. What I defined as a level one diagnostic, and that's why we called the company Level One Diagnostics, is something that's done by a semi-skilled to skilled person, is non-invasive, and tells you what's taking place on a cellular level in the body. And we then went out and located 10 tests that that allowed us to do a level one diagnostic for a person. And it's all because of new technology. We wouldn't have been able to do that 20 years ago. We didn't have the technology. We also didn't have the knowledge. The Nobel Prize for Medicine was given in 1998 with the discovery that the lining of the artery secretes a gas that causes it to dilate. Up until then, we didn't know it. Now that we do, we've changed the whole way we can practice cardiology.
And Steve, we're talking about this is more than just going in and getting a physical and getting your blood done and realize you have high cholesterol or you have high blood pressure and you could be a candidate for heart disease. I mean, this is talking. We're talking a lot more. It's a very more enhanced, correct?
We are. In fact, taking blood work, which we don't do till 60 days into our program, is a level 2 test. It's invasive. You have to pass through the skin into an artery or vein to grab blood. So it's an invasive test. The level 1 diagnostic testing is 10 totally non-invasive tests. We don't even prick the skin, that when we look at them as a whole, we can really tell what's going on throughout the cardiovascular system on a cellular level. So I can look at somebody's lining of their artery through ultrasound and tell whether or not they're progressing towards having a blocked artery in 10 to 15 years. This is a big breakthrough.
Steve, what is the... you know, our primary audience on this program are employers that are really looking at ways to better manage the health of their employee population and help their employees better manage, you know, their own health. What is the distinct value proposition to an employer for level 1 diagnostics? What's your message for them?
My message is that the Bermuda Triangle of disease is sleep disorder, obesity, metabolic disease, and cardiovascular disease. And that triangle of a syndrome is occurring more and more and more in employees and leads to a great deal of health care costs. If an employer can screen, I hate to use the term screen because it's really a test that we're doing, but if an employer can screen for those three things and can help motivate their employee to make risk reductions, then they're going to save a lot of money through health care costs over the long haul. When we find somebody, out of every 100 people we test, 2 people have a God forbid. And we have to send them off to an interventional cardiologist to do whatever they need to do, like put in a stent. Well, that's still a lot cheaper than emergency bypass surgery. So the numbers are all in that when an employer puts money into their employees, the savings in health care costs are extraordinary.
Yeah, it's along the line. I mean, it's to your point, a lot. There's a lot said about managing the well population, but if we don't pay attention to our chronic care population or, to your point, identify who is potentially going to be in that category, we're not going to control health care costs, let alone take care of our people.
That's correct, and the employers' offices are trying to do a good job, but unfortunately, they're using yesterday's technology. The biometrics that they do, while I applaud them for spending the money to bring in somebody to do blood pressure and pulse and body fat or weight and BMI and a cholesterol stick, that's really looking at disease. And what we're really doing is pre-symptomatic. We're looking at somebody before they have enough disease for symptomatology, and then we can reverse trends. And with wellness coaching, which is part of our program, at no charge to the recipient, we really get much better compliance than anybody else.
Yeah. With what you're doing too, Steve, I would see you as a natural partner with some of the population health management companies out there. Is that are you approaching them around partnering opportunities?
We are. We're out in force trying to gain traction mm-hmm. in the wellness community. We'd love to be given the opportunities to be there for lots and lots of companies, because what we're doing, nobody else is doing. And when I say that, a lot of people think, well, maybe it's not tried and true medicine, but we have accolades on all the tests that we're doing from everywhere, from Mayo Clinic to Stanford to Cedars-Sinai, and more. So the testing that we're doing is really state-of-the-art. It's just most people don't know about it yet because it's really such new technology.
And you can serve companies nationwide, Steve? Is that correct?
We can.
Okay.
We can serve companies nationwide. We can come in there, set up our equipment, set up our tech, set up our wellness coaching staff, which we do by phone. So the barrier for wellness coaching doesn't exist. But we can leave a tech there with our equipment. All the tests get put onto a PAC system, a compression system called Devo, and they get sent to our radiologists and cardiologists for review. And a nice 14-page booklet comes back for the person who had the test, all reviewed by our cardiologist, in about 3-day turnaround.
Now, Steve, what about privacy issues with employees? What kind of issues do you have to deal with that?
Well, even though the employer is paying for the test, it's the employee's information.
Okay.
So we don't share that with the employers unless the employee would ask us to. So the HIPAA and the confidentiality about our program is still there, but we like the employees to make it known that they're losing weight, that they're sleeping better, that they're reducing risk factors for cardiovascular disease, because when they do that, they get support from their other employees. But then again, there's some people who are quiet and like to be by themselves and don't want to announce, hey, I've lost 15 pounds, so we don't ask them if we can take their picture then.
Well, Steve, listen, we're down to the final minute. Time flies when we're having fun. In 30 seconds or less, can you give a final takeaway you'd like to leave our audience with?
Absolutely. A million people per year die from heart disease in this country. 500,000 of them are women, 2,600 people per day. And, in fact, every 3 days a student athlete dies on the field. And all of this, to the most part, is preventable. I don't believe anybody needs to die from a heart attack. Give us an opportunity to come into your offices, become a center of wellness excellence, test people with the highest technology, and you'll be far along the curve to saving your employees' lives.
Well, it's pretty compelling. Steve, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And for our audience out there, you can find out more about Level 1 Diagnostics and contact them via our website. As a corporate member, if you go to our Solution Showcase area, you'll find all the information on Steve's company and all the contact information. And to our audience out there, we thank you for your time this morning. You can find a podcast of this show and earlier shows on our website, theihcc.com, and join us again next week at 11 o'clock. You have a great week.